In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
It's good to see all of you today, really. And I'm going to sound like a broken record, but honestly, and I think I may have said this yesterday, but I don't know how many of you realize how much joy you bring to people when you show up. You know, you kind of bring that presence with you. You're not invisible. You're all very precious. And so you bring me a lot of joy when you come here and to see you all. So I got home last night. It was kind of a long weekend. I hadn't worked on my homily yet. And my lovely wife, Matushka, asked me, what can I do to help? And I said, would you write my sermon for me? She's going to kill me. But it was actually this thing that she said. She said, oh, yeah, that's fine. That's easy. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. Oh, and P.S., love one another. You know, honestly, that's it. I could probably just stop right there and say, in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all be like, I know, but what does that mean? You know? Because it's a really simple thing to say, but it's a much more complex to apply and to know how to apply these things, to love God and to love our neighbor. It's a really basic spiritual thing, but why is it so hard? It's because there are really two lives. All of us here are really living two separate lives. And these two lives are fighting inside of us. The first life is a fleshly, material, and temporal, meaning stuck in time, life. And you'll notice that everything that's temporal only wants one thing, more time, right? Things that live in time want more time. Things that are material want more material. Things that are fleshly want more flesh, more food, more TV, more entertainment, more rest, more of those things that all perish when you use them. If you notice that, the things we obsess about don't last. That house, that first house I bought years ago, and the AC was broken, and I was stressed and freaking out about it, 100 years from now, it's going to be gone. Doesn't matter. It's going to fall apart. And yet, even though we cognitively know that we are living in a world that's perishing and that everything around us is falling apart and everything we use falls apart, you know, have to replace our phone every couple years, have to replace our car every couple years, we have to redo our AC on our house every couple years. And even though we know all this, we still struggle to feed this fleshly beast, this life that is perishing, and it's never satisfied. And I don't know if you notice, but we always want more. Especially if it's street tacos. Those things are delicious. You know, you can eat 30 of them. But the thing is, we eat and then what happens? We're hungry again. We rest. And what happens? We're tired again. We feel the rush of adrenaline. We do some entertaining thing. And we encounter some pleasure. But then we're bored again. We're never happy. We never find joy. And this life that I tell you about is never satisfied. Never satisfied. And we're never satisfied with it because we have ignored the other life that lives inside of us, a life that is fighting inside of us. This life, unlike the fleshly life, is a peaceful, quiet, and humble life. It is our soul, which does not care for material things. It does not care for fleshly pleasures, and it doesn't care to have more time. It doesn't care about time because the soul is eternal. Only the body wants more time. I just want one more day. I want to live a long life. I'm going to take these vitamins and whatever, you know, things. I'm going to get four more days out of my life. But the soul says, I want eternity. This life is not enough for me. And so the soul is always restless, always crying out for that which continues on. It seeks eternity, and above all, the soul seeks to be with God. It desires prayer. It desires communion. It desires stillness. It desires peace and to grow spiritually. So, these are the two lives that live inside of us. And because of the fall of Adam, they live in concert contradiction. And we all know that the fleshly life usually wins the battle, unfortunately. Our Lord Jesus Christ came and gave us the answer to this tension. He tells us that to save our life, we must be willing to lose it. Doesn't that seem like a paradox? To save your life, you have to be willing to lose it. You have to be willing to take up your cross, to sell all you have, and follow him to Golgotha. What he's saying is, you must be willing to lose the temporal life to gain the eternal life. We choose fasting and prayer. And those things, by the way, fasting and prayer is a spectrum. Sky's the limit when it comes to fasting and prayer. Always do what you can do, not what you want to do. We choose fasting and prayer. We choose forgiveness and kindness. We choose love over hatred. We choose to ignore the flesh and all that it cares about. And instead, we choose to feed our souls that are eternal. And we choose the cross over the movie theater. We choose the cross over that giant steak. We choose the cross over our ego, our selfishness, and our lust. We choose the cross. And like I said yesterday, we take up our cross. Maybe it was yesterday, I forget when it was. Sometime in the past, I said this thing, that we take up our cross and we follow Christ to Golgotha, where we crucify our flesh. Now, it doesn't mean we go around with, you know, whipping ourselves, but we put it in second place. We always put our spiritual life first. We are always taking care of our soul, and we're feeding its hunger for eternity and feeding its hunger for communion with God and with one another. So to gain our life, to gain eternal life, we must be willing to let go of those things that are falling apart around us. I had an experience a number of years ago when we lived in Texas, and there was a column in our house right by the front door. And I don't know why, but everyone loved putting their hand on that thing. And about every 6 months, I'd have to go back over it with the paint, because everybody's like putting their hand on that and wears it down and gets all handprinty and stuff. And I was getting frustrated. And one day when I was sitting there painting, I was like, it was always going to fall apart. From the moment this house was constructed, its destiny was become dust. There is so much more to life than that. And we have our souls, y'all. We have our souls. That thing that's eternal wants to live forever. It wants to live the better life. So today, we make the brave and ongoing movement. And I say some bold stuff, right? It's a movement. You're always just changing a little bit every day. And I'll say this about bearing fruit. You know, I think about Christ when he went into the Jerusalem and he cursed the fig tree or whatever it was. It didn't have fruit, and they came out and shriveled up. And someone told me many years ago, you don't have to produce great volumes of fruit, just something. It could be a tiny little raisin. If that's the only fruit you bear, you've borne fruit. You're going to be all right. You know, so don't be despaired. Don't despair by these people, the saints that have these really wonderful, full spiritual lives. And you're like, man, I'm struggling just to fast. I'm struggling just to get out of bed and come to church. Hey, you came to church. You're here. Praise God. All we have to do is be brave and make that ongoing movement away from that ship that is on fire and sinking, and sinking into the sea to the firm foundation of dry land, paradise, where Christ awaits for us. And I'll end with this, my friends. I was always baffled by the cross. I mean, the cross is, there's so much, you can just talk all day about the cross. We talked about on Wednesday, there's a lot to be said about the cross. But to the penitent thief, he says, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And he says, today you will be with me in paradise. And I've often thought, where do they go after that? Well, they both went into the ground. And so what that thief, the man who lives his life stealing things, found in that last moment of life, but that paradise is to let it all go and finally enter the grave with Christ with joy. And that, my friends, is paradise. To live that life free of the cares of this world, free of the fleshly desires, and to live a life oriented towards heaven. And so it's a tall order. Father, how do I do this? Keep trying. Keep trying. Keep praying. Keep struggling. Grow a little bit every single day towards the kingdom of God. And eventually, when that time comes, when we will all inevitably be lying on our deathbeds, we won't care about that thing we're leaving behind. We will only look forward to meeting Christ in living with him for all of eternity. I'm being quiet again, aren't I? I'm going to speak up. Tony's back. He's being quiet again. What's he doing? Come on. So be encouraged in your spiritual life to let go of it bit by bit, especially right here today in the divine liturgy. You have an opportunity to let go of whatever's going on out there and just be present in here and be present in the liturgy. May God bless us with this by sending us his Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.